I guess for many couples, a lot of assumptions come into play at some point, also because of popular media, like the idea that two individuals, they fall in love, they get married, and happily ever after, with one look, you understand what each other is thinking and feeling. I mean, that is the dream.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm June and I'm your host for this episode. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you will discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. In the previous episode, Jared and Joyce shared some very helpful insights on caring for ourselves in marriage. If you did not manage to catch it, I highly encourage you to do so. Today, we'll be talking about caring for our spouse by building trust and safety in our marriage. Focus on the Family Singapore's marriage assessment has found that one of the top three traits of a marriage is nourishing your spouse, where spouses seek to help each other feel loved and cherished. So how can we express love for our spouse by making our marriage feel like the safest place on earth? To answer that question, let's welcome Jared and Joyce back to the Connect to podcast. Welcome back, Jared and Joyce.
Hi, thanks for having us, June.
Yeah, hi, June. It's great to be back.
I was wondering, to start us off, what comes to mind, you know, when you think about the idea of building trust and safety in your marriage?
Well, I mean, just like how we think workplace safety is of utmost importance for every workplace, it's really about creating a marriage that is safe physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, that is foundational for flourishing for every marriage, fundamental, essential, and vital.
Yeah, I agree with that. When we feel safe in our marriage, we can relax and fully be ourselves and be open and vulnerable towards our spouse. And that's crucial for feeling intimacy on so many different levels, not just physical intimacy, but emotional intimacy as well.
That's wonderful, right? To have this sense of safety where you can come home and not have to second guess and not have to feel suspicious over anything. And I'm sure that's something we all crave, right, deep down inside, for our homes and our marriage to be this way. But how do we go about creating this sense of safety in our marriage?
I think it's about really building up acceptance, a feeling of being authentic, but also being accepted in how you are showing up in the marriage, so that you don't have to be on guard or try to portray a certain image of yourself. And that allows you to focus on being the best version of yourself, which we did talk about in the previous podcast, you know, when we talked about self-care. And by being that best version, you're able to love and care for your spouse there. But this also means thinking not just about self-care, but thinking, how do I show up as someone who is worthy of my spouse's trust? Right? Not a demand or an expectation, or to take it for granted that just because we're married, therefore, he must be a safe person for me, and I am obviously a safe person for him. I think at some level, recognizing that it takes work as well to maintain that atmosphere of acceptance and vulnerability and care.
It's really about not demanding and thinking about how we ourselves can show up as trustworthy spouses for each other. It's really about prioritizing open and honest communication, communicating what we really feel in that moment, and not expecting like our spouses to kind of mind read us, what we are thinking, what we are feeling at that moment, and then be surprised when they don't. I guess for many couples, a lot of assumptions come into play at some point, also because of popular media, like the idea that two individuals, they fall in love, they get married, and happily ever after, with one look, you understand what each other is thinking and feeling. I mean, that is the dream. Yet at some level, yes, it's a nice dream. If we were to think about it another way, isn't it terrifying to know exactly what each other is thinking and feeling without even have to express it? So very often, it's really about processing our thoughts and feelings and the most core parts of ourselves that we want to express to each other. It's about turning up for each other with our condensed thoughts and feelings and connecting over those bits of ourselves.
It's also taking maybe a humble and honest look at myself. For me in the marriage, I know there are things that I do that are not necessarily always creating that sense of care and safety or trust, you know, and being willing to take feedback from my partner helps me show sincerity in me putting in effort and keep working at our marriage. For example, when trying to prioritize open and honest conversation, like what Jared was saying, but sometimes I may not be in the right headspace to focus or listen. And I may not come off as the most curious and caring person to validate what he's feeling in that moment. Mm. You know, and I think it's those times where it's humbling when I get the feedback, where I didn't come off the way I thought I might. I might have all the best of intentions, or I might be feeling overwhelmed in that moment, whatever my purposes were. But I think the important thing is recognizing that how it impacted my spouse may not have helped them feel safe. It may not have helped them feel like I was being a person that was a listening ear and able to kind of receive and validate the feelings that are being shared.
Even as I'm listening, it sort of brings across the idea that, you know, we are all not perfect, right? And even with our best intentions to show up well, sometimes we just are not up to it in that moment, right? And I like what you said, Joyce, about then having the humility to recognize that, yeah, I did not do as well as I wanted. I was not as present as I wanted for my spouse. And I can learn from this. Yeah, I can do better. I can show up better the next day. Earlier, you mentioned, Jared, about the importance of open communication. It feels like as we talk about this, creating this trust and sense of safety, it really takes hard work. Yeah, and it really takes being able to express ourselves, our deepest needs, our true selves to our spouse. And sometimes it's like chicken and egg, you know. First, you need to feel safe, right, to express ourselves. Then when, as you express yourself and as you share a little bit deeper about how you're really feeling about a particular incident or event, that creates that safety as well. Do you see that as well in your own relationship?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there were things that would surprise us in our relationship. And then we'll be checking in with each other and we'll be like, no, I thought that you thought this. And we'll be like, no, actually, no, not really. And we'll be like, what? I've been thinking that for the past 2 years, right?
Yeah, certain assumptions there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, certain assumptions that, no, we thought about each other. And it's always great to kind of like clarify with each other and have that eureka moment. And we go like, oh, okay, I learned something about my spouse that, no, she's this real person in front of me. And yes, we don't show up perfectly for each other all the time. But we definitely do give each other space to practice our self-care and to be able to come back and re-engage safely and be open and vulnerable after having taken care of our self-care needs, which really helps us build that sense of safety at the end of it.
You know, I'm just wondering, for many couples who may be struggling with this sense of safety or sense of trust within the home, maybe it looks like a spouse who has frequently or consistently broken his or her promises. Maybe they said that he or she said that he would be home for dinner on time, but then that frequently does not come into play. What can we do in such situations when you feel like, oh, you know, you've been let down so often that you almost stop trusting that it will actually happen as what your spouse has said?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2MarriagePrep for more information today.
I mean, there's so much pressure in work, right? Sometimes getting home for dinner on time can be such a difficulty. I definitely don't want to minimize that.
Mm.
And I definitely don't want to minimize the importance of being home in time for dinner and showing up for one's spouse as well. Both are so crucial and important. Yet, no, at some level, it's also really about being open and vulnerable to be able to say that, you know, honey, I really want to show up for dinner on time. I really want to. That's me. Yet at the same time, there's also this huge major project going on at work. Boss is maybe kind of a little bit on my back. And I really want to do my best and to turn up punctually for dinner. I know how much it means for you, and I really want to do that. We also know how important this job security is going to be for our family. What do you think?
I mean, we can think about it in the initial part of trying to figure out what's the root cause of the situation happening. So like Jared sharing, it could be sometimes it's external factors, sometimes it's internal, right? And then we talk about the previous podcast of then needing time to build up self-care. So figuring out what would be the root causes and contributions to the stressful situation, or why the trust or the promises seem to have been broken many times. And I think once that's been established and communicated, it's really a season of going into making amends. There is that need, you know, sometimes to just address that wrong has been done, people have been let down, and having that opportunity to make amends. Everyone has different love languages, right? Whether it's through a verbal apology, whether it's through acts of services, whether it's through a gift. Every couple has their own style of communicating that love and care and apology to each other. So making amends, apologizing, and attuning, really figuring out, you know, moving ahead, how do we be more attuned to each other's needs, attuned to each other's styles? What makes the person tick or not tick? What are their boundaries, their expectations, their personal space? Getting more attuned, just understanding, learning to be, in a way, expert of yourself, but also the expert of your partner. You know, it's really what attunement is like, to get yourselves on the same wavelength. And hopefully that will build up to the last A. We can think about it in terms of attachment, so that your bond becomes stronger, that this experience helps you grow together, and you realize that your sense of safety can be deepened, not threatened by the challenges that you go through.
Wow, I really like what you said. Attunement first to each other, becoming experts of each other. And then after that, going into allowing this to strengthen the attachment bond between us, you know, as a couple. It's indeed hard work to build and to maintain trust within a marriage where we really want to show up for each other and be our best selves for each other. So thanks for sharing your insights as well on how to manage when there is broken trust. In each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. Today's question comes from a husband who says, "My wife and I recently got married after a relatively short courtship. She is on the quieter side, whereas I'm the more talkative one. I try my best to engage her in conversations and to ask questions so that I can learn more about her. But somehow she seems a bit more guarded when talking about her innermost thoughts and feelings. I thought she would open up more after getting married, but she still seems to keep some distance. What should I do?"
Getting married is also a huge adjustment. Being in the same shared space a lot more. I mean, it's no longer sending your fiancé back home to her parents, but now you're living in the same space together. That's a huge adjustment. And definitely, yeah, it's always good to use I statements like, "Honey, I've been feeling some distance between us. I'm wondering if there's anything that I could do to make it more comfortable for you in our marriage and sharing our space together. Is there any needs or wants that you've been trying to communicate that I could have missed? Is there anything that I can do?" Generally, self-disclosure is quite a helpful thing to do in a safe and healthy and trustworthy marriage.
You're building up a couple rhythm. You're trying to figure out each other, you know, and create that safe space to talk openly. It's new to you. It's new to her. And honestly, the first year of marriage with the transition and the adjustment, whether you're living alone, the two of you, or you have moved into another place together, maybe living with a larger in-law ecosystem and recognizing that there's complexities there and many things to talk about in terms of plans, expectations and boundaries, right? And people will go into habits that make them feel safe. So thinking that your spouse is going to change because you are married, it makes it actually more unlikely. She's going to do what feels safe to her before the marriage, all the more so after getting married, because that's how she's made. That's how maybe her family of origin was like, and that's how conflicts and differences and tensions were navigated. For some couples, that is a crucial first year, looking for mentors, other marriage mentors or in their community, you know, someone who is more mature, has gone down the path a bit more further in terms of their marriage, might be more helpful to just kind of figure out how they navigated the differences. For some couples, Jared and I are both couple counselors and therapists. We have couples who come in seeking professional help when necessary, just to guide that conversation, you know, and navigate that process. You don't have to wait for problems to come. We go for workshops, we go for professional development in our places of work. What prepares us to kind of start that marriage journey? I think that intentionality and making that space for you and your wife would be so important, you know, so that you'll learn how to validate each other's feelings and not to just downplay or dismiss them or sweep them under the carpet until it becomes too big to ignore.
Both parties probably entered the marriage with a very different idea of what a healthy marriage space looks like. And this is what I really love to tell my couples. Like, one probably grew up in an Apple OS environment. The other one grew up in an Android OS environment. And that's the frame of reference that they are using. Neither is wrong. Both are useful. And when they enter in this shared space, suddenly Apple wasn't speaking to Android. Android isn't speaking quite well to Apple. And you're both figuring it out. And like what Joyce is touching upon is like this thing about our family of origin. What does hanging around in a family looks like could look quite different for both of your families. Perhaps for one family, it could be a lot more banter, a lot more self-disclosure, maybe a little bit more in-your-face kind of conversations. And then there's also like some families where, you know, people are generally in their own space. Most of the time, they don't really come out unless there is like a reason to do so. Neither is right or wrong. It's just different. Yeah, but yeah, at the same time, the way we think about it and process it could tell us quite a different story. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be careful, not judgments that we make behind all of these actions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be a lot deeper.
Yeah, thanks for that. I love the analogy of the Apple meets Android. I think many of us can relate to that. Somehow, you know, differences seem to attract. And I think you guys brought up the importance of understanding, you know, the family of origin and how the culture, the context was like. And that might help couples actually manage and understand their differences better. Thanks so much, Jared and Joyce, for sharing with us, you know, all the tips and insights when it comes to building that sense of safety and trust in our marriage. Before we let you go, do you have any last words or encouragement for our listeners?
Well, I think sharing about yourself using I statements, keeping it short, sweet, and nice is great for sharing and encouraging a shared healthy marriage space.
For me, I think that, you know, relationships are built up over time. They're not instant. And every experience that you and your partner work on together is an opportunity, a stepping stone for you guys to journey further into knowing each other better and to build your togetherness and your trust and your safety. So you don't have to be beating yourself up over things you feel like you didn't do right or do wrong, as much as honesty and being humble is important, but also see it as opportunity to uncover more, like an onion, peeling layer by layer away and getting to know the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Well said. Thanks for sharing with us again. I will walk away from this podcast remembering the Apple and Android analogy as well as the onion. So thank you both. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with each other. So if you're listening to this with your spouse, here's your challenge. Find a conducive environment, put away all distractions, whether it's an Apple phone or Android phone, and spend 15 minutes to share the following with each other. The first prompt is one thing you have been wanting to say but was too uncomfortable or afraid to do so. The second prompt is share one thing that you appreciate about your spouse but don't get to say it enough. So we really hope that you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you once again for listening in, and remember to continually take the effort to make your marriage a safe haven for your spouse.